Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
Every now and again, my email explodes, incoming emails. Steve, have you seen this story? And once in a while, I haven't, but this time I had. And a lot of people sent it. Thank you very much. But it's a story out of Indiana involving Tyson Timbs, who once again has prevailed in court. But this time it appears that Indiana is done. They have nowhere else to go. Indiana has finally lost. Indiana, the state, has refused to admit that this case was not going to be won by them. They took it to the U.S. Supreme Court once. They took it to the Indiana Supreme Court three times. And they keep losing. And they kept fighting. Don't know why. So victory for Tyson Timbs. Indiana man keeps car after 8-year legal battle. This story is from the Institute for Justice, but it's been widely reported. Connor Beck wrote it. Tyson Timbs and his fight against civil forfeiture made national news back in February when the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the Eighth Amendment's excessive fines clause applies not just to federal government, but to the states as well. And one thing to remember is this is not actually a civil asset forfeiture case in its purest sense. This was couched all along as being an excessive fines case, saying that, yeah, the man committed a crime and the state had the right to fine him, but they couldn't fine him by taking his vehicle. And that's a little different than them saying, oh, we think you committed a crime and this vehicle is the proceeds from that crime, because that wasn't the case. So this was an excessive fines case. So that decision from the U.S. Supreme Court established a rule of law for Americans nationwide, but it did not get Tyson his car back because the Supreme Court sent his case back to the Indiana Supreme Court, who then sent the case back to the trial court with instructions to decide again whether taking Tyson's vehicle was unconstitutionally excessive in light of the recent Supreme Court standards. The trial court ruled in favor of Tyson back in April. The state appealed that again, taking it up to the Indiana Supreme Court a third time. And recently, a majority of the Indiana Supreme Court ruled unequivocally in Tyson's favor. Court wrote, reminiscent of Captain Ahab's chase of the white whale Moby Dick, this case has wound its way from the trial court all the way to the United States Supreme Court and back again. After 8 years of litigation, the court held that Timbs met his high burden to show the harshness of his Land Rover's forfeiture was grossly disproportionate to the gravity of the underlying dealing offense and his culpability for the vehicle's misuse. The forfeiture violates the excessive fines clause, the court concluded. For years, this case has been important, not just for me, but for thousands of people who are caught up in forfeiture lawsuits, said Tyson. The state's refusal to give back my car has never made sense. They're trying to rehabilitate me and help me help myself. Why do you want to make things harder by taking away the vehicle I need to meet with my probation officer or go to drug rehab? I hope that finally the government will move on and let me move on too. So an attorney for the Institute for Justice who helped Mr. Timbs says, today's ruling is an important victory for property rights across Indiana. As the Indiana Supreme Court correctly recognized, Indiana campaigned to take Tyson's car is just the sort of abusive forfeiture that the excessive fines clause is designed to curtail. The state of Indiana has spent nearly a decade trying to confiscate a vehicle from a low-income recovering addict. No one should have to spend 8 years fighting the government just to get back their car. Tyson's legal odyssey began shortly after his father died, and his dad left him more than $70,000 in life insurance proceeds. So he used that money to buy the Land Rover. And there's no question, by the way, that the Land Rover was bought with money that came from his father's passing. It had nothing to do with any crimes whatsoever. So they had a case against Mr. Timbs. He pleaded guilty. He served a year on house arrest, paid $1,200 in court fees, but they wanted to take his car as a fine. Within months of his arrest, private contingency fee lawyers filed a civil forfeiture lawsuit on behalf of the state to take title of the $35,000 Land Rover. So in that action, it was called a civil asset forfeiture case. But that's a little different because, again, the criminal case, they called it a fine. The government has been prosecuting the case ever since. The 7+ year pursuit for the white Land Rover comes to an end, the Indiana Supreme Court's opinion concluded the other day. Today's ruling brings to a close Indiana's crusade to confiscate one man's car, said Wesley Hoddit, an Institute for Justice senior attorney who argued on Tyson's behalf at the U.S. Supreme Court. Tyson's case went through every level of the American judicial system, in some instances three times. The state's relentless use of its forfeiture machine has been a deeply unjust exercise of power, and it underscores civil forfeiture is one of the greatest threats to property rights in the nation today. So just to make sure that this is clear, what happened to Mr. Timms is the state wanted to take his vehicle from him, and he wanted to fight that. So let me go through procedurally what happened with his case. So the state filed the complaint asking for the car in 2013. And that was the beginning of all this. So the trial court entered a judgment for Timms. So he won the very first case. They concluded that the forfeiture of the Land Rover would be grossly disproportionate to the conduct, and so it violate the Eighth Amendment's excessive fines clause. Now, it was a split opinion, but the Court of Appeals affirmed that. So he won again at the Court of Appeals. Then it went to the Indiana Supreme Court, and they reversed it. Now, they did reverse it the first time. And they said that, technically speaking, the excessive fines clause is in the Constitution, but as of that moment in time, the U.S. Supreme Court had never said explicitly that it applied to the states. So if it had been federal action we're talking about, it would have applied. But a state action, they said no. And this is the Supreme Court writing. We further held that the state had proven its entitlement to forfeit the Land Rover under Indiana law. So then Timms petitioned the Supreme Court for cert, and the court held that the Eighth Amendment's excessive fines clause is incorporated under the Due Process Clause. And that case is Timms versus Indiana, 2019. So the court vacated that case and remanded it. In its opinion, however, the Supreme Court did not spell out how courts should determine whether a fine is excessive, leaving the task to the state. On remand, the Indiana Supreme Court held that the fines clause includes both instrumentality and proportionality for use-based fines like the forfeiture of Tim's vehicle. And such fines are constitutional if they meet certain requirements. So they decided that the Land Rover's forfeiture fell within the clause, but remanded the case to the trial court to determine whether Timms had overcome his burden to establish gross disproportionality. And the court again said, this can leave this up to the trial court. So the trial court then ruled in Timms' favor and said, once again, yeah, we said it before, we'll say it again, man gets to keep his car. And the interesting thing is that the Indiana Supreme Court points out that previously the state never sought to get rehearings nor petition the Supreme Court of the United States for cert on their arguments that they lost when they were in front of the Indiana Supreme Court a second time. So on remand, the trial court held another evidentiary hearing, issued 14 pages of findings and conclusions, and determined that Timms had, in fact, shown the gross disproportionality. So the trial court judgment was in favor of Timms. And so, of course, at that point, what does the state do? They appealed it again. And that's when it got up in front of the Indiana Supreme Court the third time. So it went up once, twice, three times. And it also went to the U.S. Supreme Court once. And it was the trial court twice. And a court of appeals once. And that is how 8 years of litigation unfolds. Very, very slowly, very, very painfully for those people involved. Except for the state. State's not going anywhere. State's got people on staff who just do this for a living. And there are people somewhere in Indiana making these decisions. And I remember doing a video a while back after one of the Indiana losses saying, you know, Indiana has lost again. And they just kept fighting it. And they lost again. And they kept fighting it. And some people are going to comment and say, oh, but Mr. Timms broke the law. He's a criminal. Yeah. The point is that there is something in the Constitution about fines not being grossly disproportional to what you've done, the excessive fines clause in the Constitution. So obviously, if you get caught jaywalking, they can't fine you $1 million. Otherwise, I'd go, don't jaywalk. Now, obviously the fine's got to bear some proportion to what you've done, okay? He already paid court costs, by the way. Don't forget that. The court costs were already paid by him. And they said, but the fine is we get to keep your vehicle. So what if you're driving a $400 beater, as they call them, and they say, oh, we're going to keep your car, $400. Mr. Tim's going to keep your car, $70,000, $45,000, whatever it was. Or suppose you're driving a McLaren F1. We're going to keep your McLaren. Why would it make sense that whatever vehicle you're driving is your fine? Talk about just randomness. A lot of people do this. When they look at these cases and they want to sit there and think about them, they go, but wait a second, but the guy broke the law. Yeah, he broke the law. And he's never said, by the way, that he shouldn't be punished. He's never said he shouldn't be fined. He's simply saying the fine should be fair. It should not be excessive. And excessive fines are forbidden by the U.S. Constitution. So if you've got a problem with that, you've got a problem with the Constitution. So there you go. So this is a great result. This is a great result. And this is the end, by the way. This is the end of this saga. Okay? So Tyson Timms will get his car back. I don't know where it's been these last 8 years, what condition it's in. I have no idea. But he gets his car back, I suspect, symbolically. It's just as important as the actual car itself. So victory for Tyson Timms, Indiana man, keeps car after 8-year legal battle. The Institute for Justice ran this story. Reason.com had it also, but also a lot of news sources. Just simply look up Tyson Timms, look for the most recent story. Timms spelled T-I-M-B-S. And Connor Beck wrote the story. And the story was sent to me by Bob, Billy, Carl, Matt, Giles, Richard, David, Brandon, Alan, Greg, Curtis, Donald, Todd, Brian, Michael, Chris, and Russell. Or, looking at it the other way, Russell, Chris, Michael, Donald, Todd, Brian, Curtis, Greg, Alan, Brandon, David, Richard, Giles, Matt, Carl, Billy, and Bob. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Questions or comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. Love, that is the soul of genius. So said Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart.